Hi, this is Paul. I'm back from the conference, as many of you are. People are sort of settling back to where they were. For those of you who didn't go to the conference, there's a lot of post-conference content that's being generated. Most of you could see that this morning I've started putting out the recordings from the conference. I'll continue to do that over the next couple of weeks. I'm just going to post them in succession. I've shared them with Jonathan Peugeot and John Vervaeke, and they can put them out on their channels in whatever way they see fit. I've got a funeral tomorrow, a pretty important funeral in our church, a dear sister who's predated me here at the church by many years. She buried two husbands along the way. I married her to her second husband. I did a little bit of eulogizing of her on Twitter today. Started posting some of the content on Twitter and on YouTube as well.
I'll be live on
the Grim Grizz channel and on the Randos United channel. Almost 4 hours of post-Chino conversation from many of the people who were there, getting together, sharing notes, talking about its significance. Really, really good conversation. Didn't get a chance to listen to all of it so far, but what I heard I thought was really good. Also, Chad has put out a Substack with his reflections from the conference. Richard actually grabbed a piece of that. There was somebody had a suitcase on the way back. That's that emotional baggage. I did a conversation with Thaddeus Russell on his unregistered, and that just came out now. I guess he was waiting for his channel to get back onto YouTube. Let me see if I can find. Yeah, Chad. Actually, Richard sort of put this together from Chad's Substack that he wrote. If this is the new Silk Road, we are all its workers. This is what I took away from the conference. This is what Paul and this little corner is trying to do. We acknowledge that we all have our own houses, our own buildings, our own homes, but we want to be the ones maintaining the road, connecting those places, making sure they're hospitable, making sure the rest stops and the campgrounds along those roads are places of fruitful and meaningful discussion between Sikhs, Protestants, Orthodox, Catholics, atheists, non-theists, theists without tradition, etc. And hopefully, if we maintain these roads, we might be sufficiently connected to face what's to come together. So I thought that was really excellent. Sort of Richard took some of Chad's things and edited them together. Justin had a few reflections. So, yeah, there's some of that going on. In preparing for the funeral I have to do tomorrow, I had to open up my funeral archives, and I had all of the funerals that I've done over the last 25 years, at least that I have a record of, and I bumped into my father's the eulogies that my father wrote for his father and his mother. So that's my grandfather, and it's on the same psalm that I'm doing the funeral with tomorrow, Psalm 116. And there was a dream. Now, at the Chino conference, some of you, the first night dinner out, Chad and Grizz and Michael and a few others around the table got me talking about dreams. The dream that was told to me when I was in the UK that you can find on the Europe debrief. And then I noticed that my father's, I didn't remember this from my grandfather's funeral, but I found this, and so I thought I would read it. I thought you might enjoy it. This is the memorial service for Father Hiram Vander Clay, Psalm 116, verse 15. I had a dream one night when I was 3 or 4 years old. This is my father writing this. My father was just about the age I am now when he wrote this. I had a dream one night when I was 3 or 4 years old. I dreamed that the end of the world had come. It was the last day, and God had arrived to stop the earth. But first he stopped in to see my folks. I love that. Little 3 or 4 year old boy. And God's going to stop the world, but first visit Hiram and Grace in Wisconsin just to chat it over with them, sort of like stopping by Abraham before he's about to smoke Sodom and Gomorrah. But first he stopped in to see my folks. In my dream, I came downstairs for breakfast, and there was God, next to the old black cook stove in the kitchen of our country parsonage 2.5 miles outside of Vesper, Wisconsin, talking with my mom and my dad. God was like a big man, bigger than my father. He had a deep voice. He commanded respect, absolutely, because he was God. But he was also very cordial, and he laughed a lot. It was a very happy morning. It was the kind of dream from which you would just as soon not have to wake up. As I look back on this childish dream, now 52 or 53 years later, it strikes me that it speaks powerfully to the early impact my parents had on me. They were godly people, and it seemed entirely appropriate to me that before God would do anything as radical as bringing in the consummation, he would stop in to see them and have a chat. My world was small but rich. Out the parsonage bay window in the living room, in the side living room, I could look across the driveway, across my father's garden, to a bit of gravel that served for a parking lot, such as it was, beyond which stood the little frame T-shaped church. It was stretched only when I saw in the back seat of the 29 Chevy and rode along with my dad on pastoral calls, where I might play on the floor with a toy car and listen in on the long, caring conversations with sometimes hurting people, or go along to the Wisconsin Rapids Hospital and hear the prayer offered for a sick member. I know now that these early impressions of living, serving, pastoring were used. I know now that these early impressions of living, serving, pastoring were used by the Spirit to profoundly influence my life and lead to the discovery of my calling. The God of my dream was like my father, only more so. Dad projected calmness and joy. He embodied the fourth chapter of Philippians, as well as the eighth chapter of Romans, whose 28th verse was one of his favorite quotes. He knew how to relax well as work faithfully. His laugh was hearty, his smile enthusiastic and warm, and his speech often sparkled with puns. His cheerful happiness was balanced with a deep seriousness about the word of truth and the truth of the word. It gave us our security. There was no question that the way of faith was the only way to live. His preaching and his living both nurtured my brother and sister and I in the ways of God. He was not an authoritarian man, not heavy-handed in either his pastoring or parenting, not at all, not in the least. He did not in any way exasperate his children. He provoked no rebellion. But he was not trifling either, and not to be trifled with. Gentle, slow to anger, but on those rare occasions when he did, he was fearsome. He did not provide a display of temper, so much as an outraged righteousness which burned with a clean white heat. It filled me not with mortal fear, but moral fear. And so he leaves two sons who had in him a sterling model of Christian manhood, and a daughter who, together with her husband, have showed their appreciation by giving themselves unstintingly to his care, as well as to the care of both sets of their aged parents. A daughter who loved him so much that she was still sitting on his lap during mealtime devotions when she was big enough for her feet to reach the floor. That was really touching because I remember my younger sister did that. She would still climb on my father's lap even when she was quite large and her feet could touch the floor to sit in my father's lap while he read devotions. So I'm doing some grieving today. You know, when you're busy, you just sort of stack, these sort of compartmentalize, you sort of stack things up and you take one thing after another. And I knew I would have this funeral. Today's Tuesday. I got back on Monday. The funeral is tomorrow. So this morning we set up chairs. Maybe I'll just read what I tweeted. I'm still catching my breath from the outstanding conference we just finished with Catherine, John Van Donk, Jonathan Peugeot, and John Vervaeke. And it's time to change gears to do a funeral. For a longtime church member. Her first husband had passed away when I came to the church 25 years ago. They raised their 5 kids in the church. Their youngest son would grow up to play professional baseball and become a wonderful deacon. Not too many years later, she'd remarry. Doug would be a janitor in the church, bouncer at times when the people wouldn't quite behave. We you'd have some unmedicated schizophrenic who would get a little out of line, and Doug would not tolerate it, and he would chase them away from the church. They'd be gone for a few days, and then they'd sheepishly sort of creep back, but be on their better behavior. First to open the door, first to welcome the visitor. I buried him in 2017. I miss him and his crazy Panamanian Jamaican accent. So he was sometimes a little hard to understand in English. He had lived both in Panama and Jamaica. His father was Jamaican, and they had emigrated to Panama for work. And then he eventually had made his way to the United States. And his English was sort of this Panamanian Spanish accent, Panamanian Jamaican accent. So sometimes I figured, well, maybe if I'd speak Spanish with him, it'd be a little clearer. But his Spanish had the weird accent too, and it was just as bad. So mostly we spoke English. And tomorrow I will bury the matriarch. In the early single years before she met Doug, she'd come to the little prayer group before Sunday school in the morning. She sat right there where later I'd launch the YouTube channel. There she is. We moved tables and chairs this morning to get ready. She's got a big family, and I finally did get a bit of a chance to grieve. Here she is with, some of you know, Nina. Oh, she'd be pissed if she knew I put her on the channel. This is years ago. We had this little harvest festival thing, and this is one of my daughters. We were pinning the crow on the scarecrow. I scan the names and eulogies of friends I've buried over the last 25 years. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. So, we're back. The conference is over. Life moves on. We're marrying and burying. We're thinking about those who have gone before us. And we're living our faith. So I hope you enjoy the Chino conference videos. And yeah, leave a comment.